You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Blessed John Paul II, the first Roman pontiff ever to allow the world to scrutinise him so closely in his physical failings, offering the Catholic Church a driving force through his suffering.
It was the suffering and death of Christ that displayed the works of God most eloquently.
Pope John Paul II there offering reassurance to thousands of faithful, almost all of whom sick and suffering. The year is 1986, the place New Zealand. The Pope's voice is warm, betraying emotion, but above all perhaps empathy with those frailer members of society gathered around him. He relates to them effortlessly. After all, only 5 years earlier, this Polish Pope, an energetic sportsman brimming with health, had suddenly closed ranks with them, the physically suffering. It's a well-known story once sprung on us on a sunny and relaxed spring afternoon of May 1981. The Pope stands Samson-like and agile in his white cassock on a white jeep in a crowded St. Peter's Square, athletically reaching out to make physical contact with as many of the pilgrims as possible. When out of the blue, gunshots ring out, wounded, he falters, is rushed to hospital. And from his hospital bed, he gains first-hand knowledge of what it means to be ill, deepening his insight into the effect physical suffering has on the human psyche, an awareness expressed half a decade later in New Zealand.
Perhaps some of you may ask God, why you have been singled out for a life that is different from the lives of other people.
This dilemma, so common among those who suffer, is one he addresses in the very next breath.
But in the providence of God, a different life does not mean a less important life. It does not mean a life with less potential for holiness or for contributing to the well-being of the world.
What Pope John Paul didn't know at the time he pronounced these words back in 1986 was to what extent his own life would be physically affected by suffering. How the signs of suffering would slowly begin to affect his daily gestures. How the press would zoom in with their cameras scrutinising his physical failings. From his inability to stoop and kiss the soil of a nation when he travelled, to the shaky hand when he read his speeches, and his incapacity to walk, to correctly pronounce words. But what this Pope always knew was that he was firm in his faith, never faltering in his commitment as head of the Catholic Church, even from his sickbed. Ever since that first time he was admitted to hospital as one of the cardinals to elect him Pope, American William Wakefield Baum recounts,
while he was in the hospital, during the period of recuperation, perhaps you know, he received all of the cardinals of the Curia, one by one. He would inquire of us what was going on. He wanted to know, be brought up to date on how things were moving. And then he encouraged us and reminded us all that he was offering his sufferings also for the work of his colleagues who were serving him and serving the church. And we experienced that very much, the effects of his prayerful suffering for us.
Prayerful suffering, best symbolized for me in that image of Pope John Paul II praying, visibly in difficulty, in the Lourdes Grotto in August 2004. An image starkly cruel, showing him slipping to the ground as he knelt. one in strong contrast with modern trends where the rule of thumb is to hide all physical failing, but one reflecting a powerful witness to spiritual and moral strength, forged, perhaps, in the early stages of his life, at a personal level, with first the loss of his mother at the age of 10 and the death of his brother just into his teens, and more broadly by the harsh scenario of the world surrounding him as a young man, the wartime experience, the years of concealment and resistance, under first the Nazis and then the communists.
Do not be afraid when love requires sacrifice. Do not be afraid of the cross of Christ. The cross is the tree of life. It is the source of all joy and peace.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.